Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, F like Frank, O-O-D like dog.com. Enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's 4/25/2019, live Thursday night show. And you know, the whole world is getting wild weasel. Of course, now you see they've hit, the Muslims have hit in Sri Lanka. Apparently in response to what took place in New Zealand. But the fact is, when you look at New Zealand, that could have been an MK Ultra type guy that they sent there to start it up. Because what is it that we're talking about? We talked about the other night, I read it to you again, you know. Pike, Albert Pike, in his Three World War letter that he wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini in 1871. They had a plan. It's Ordo Ab Chao. They're going to create the chaos, and out of that comes the order, you see. But it's Lucifer and his followers trying to create a complete chaos that will then go to the fact of blood sacrifice to reduce the population of planet Earth back to about 500 million to bring and to get the devil power up to bring old Lucifer with the little G God back onto this planet here to try to create a counterfeit of our Lord Jesus and to deceive everybody he can, you see. And believe me, he's deceiving a lot of people already. So what is it that Pike said? Let me just pull this phrase out again. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, meaning the Islamic world versus the Zionists versus Israel, basically. But now they're directing it at Christians. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, and spiritual, and economical exhaustion. Kind of sounds like old The Fourth Turning, doesn't it? But only a little bit on Albert Pike, Luciferian steroids. Incidentally, Pike had an irregular cavalry during the Civil War on the Confederate side, and he had a number of Native Americans, let's just call them Indians, in with him. And they were a pretty wild bunch, wild crew. Obviously, if you got a Luciferian leader, and they used to do a lot of head cutting. They cut a lot of heads off and did a lot of stuff that went beyond even what Jefferson Davis thought they should be doing. That cavalry, as far as I know, was taken apart, was basically decommissioned, that cavalry. Not that during the Civil War that the carnage was such that, you know, it would be like in the movie where Marlon Brando says, you know, to the young captain that's coming to kill him in Apocalypse Now, Martin Sheen, he said, you know, killing those people was like handing out tickets at the Indianapolis, speeding tickets at the Indianapolis 500. So it was back then. But Pike is telling you where the Luciferians, the elite, now where are the elite at? The elite are in the top slots of banking, corporations, family wealth, the giant wealthy money group families, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Turn and Taxis, the Queen of England, you see, which is Saxe Coburg Gotha, you know. The Vatican Bank and the Vatican. It seems as though we have the last pope, according to Malachi. And what's strange is we still have Benedict still around, and you have Francis now, too. Very odd, but here's the deal. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. And then Pike says we shall unleash the nihilists, or the nihilists, if you want to call it like that, and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. And everybody's going to have to be involved in fighting it because, you see, look what's happening. Look at the fact that a Muslim stabs a Christian in Rome for wearing a crucifix. I heard the other day that the Christian religion is the most persecuted religion on the planet. I've also heard that now Notre Dame, that the one of the architects, he says we should put up a Muslim, you know, half moon up there. A moon and a star. When in fact is a Christian church. But they're destroying those. And I'm going to tell you what. I think of my good friends out there up on that hill and in that little town. That little town that may have burnt last year. And I think about talking to them about the people that had come up and walked in, two men that walked into the back door of their small church along a little country road there on that little small town in California, and how they took a look at those guys and they said, oh boy, something's up here. And how there were also other, there were women that were obviously like a black Muslim woman that came up into that town to look around and do some scouting. So I'm going to tell you, if you're out there and you're going to church, you better pack heat, you know, and somebody besides just an average old, you know, usher, we need somebody that's got some, you know, sense to them and got a little more awareness, perhaps, than the average Sunday go-to-meeting usher. If you got a policeman or a fireman or a good veteran that goes to the church, put them in as the usher and as a guard at the door. And pay attention who comes into your parking lot. I also know, talking to somebody from Ohio in a very nice suburban parish in a Catholic church, where all the witches that are the witches of the laity, you see, the rich witches who control the whole church and run the priests and the whole bit, and who incidentally in that particular church deny people the sacrament of confession. Isn't that interesting? But although they made an outreach to the Muslims and invited the Muslims over for a service at their, you know, church, you know, hands across the water, and that's admirable and nice. But the guy that came in had some kind of a chess piece that had a camera on it, and he was stood at the back of the church and took pictures with his camera mounted in his chest or breast piece of jewelry, and kept turning this way and that way and was looking at all the exits, all of the different things, where the altar was, what the service was like. And then not only that, but he had others out in the hallway going through all of the school classrooms and stuff and restrooms and seeing where all of they were at. And then as the mass was over, people were getting in their cars and leaving. And that guy, the Muslim guy, had a couple people sitting at the edge right there as people exited out. And they were taking a look at who the people were and all of the things. And when I saw Notre Dame, I said, oh, boy, I just hope that that church in Ohio does not get hit. Or the one down the street here, or the one up the street there, or down in the holler, the little cute church in the holler, you know. So I'm going to tell you what, if you are in a Christian church or a, you know, shul or wherever you're at, a Reformed temple, okay, you had better put a guard on the door. And you had better get cameras that are pretty good on all your doors and make them so they can't be tampered with, and start to be on the guard against the moon god's people who are being utilized by Allah, the moon god, to be part of the attacks that Pikes is talking about. Now, as well as that, what do we have? We have also, of course, the overture. Now, the reason I bring it up is because it's so clear-cut to me. The overture is carried out by agents of the secret services of the Russian and their satellite countries, and by mercenaries recruited by intermediaries. The principal method at this stage is gray terror. That's a kind of terror which is not conducted in the name of Russia. But you see, it's carried out during that period so that the operation should be regarded as natural disasters, actions by forces beyond human control, mistakes committed by people, or as terrorist acts by organizations not connected with Russia. And I would also just use the modern term, well, it's a glitch. It must have been a glitch. And the overture, you see, The terrorist acts carried out, and of course, the overture require very few people, very few weapons, and little equipment, and in some cases, all that may be needed is one man who has a weapon, nothing more than a screwdriver, a box of matches, or a glass ampoule, and some of the operations can have catastrophic consequences. For an example, an epidemic of an infectious disease at 7 of the most important naval bases in the West could have the effect of cutting in half the combined naval might of Russia's enemies. Now, let's throw in the Red Chinese and the Iranians into that mix. Russia, Red China have treaties with Iran, okay, and some of the new electromagnetic capability that I've been talking to you about for quite some time that's more portable, that doesn't require the HAARP field in Alaska, okay? That Iran, you see, was one of the people in the development with Russia of that, and now China has it. Because here's the deal. Russia supplies China with oil and natural gas. In that regard, Russia is able to utilize and pay for it in Chinese yuan or in rubles, okay? And not in dollars. So it breaks the hegemony of the U.S. dollar or the petrodollar. Now, Russia is also one of the largest producers of oil and natural gas, as is Iran. Iran has been sanctioned and been held down since the Iran-Iraq war, but Obama jump-started them back up with hundreds of billions of dollars and even billions in cash. So consequently, you go to Ezekiel 38, after he talks about Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Togarma, all his bands with, you know, Gog Magog. And once they come against Israel, thus saith the Lord God, in verse 10 of Ezekiel 38, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, and all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. That's essentially the United States. To take a spoil and to take a prey and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, like the western United States, the Great Plains, you see, and that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Okay, so now we've got a situation that Steve Quayle and I, when Steve had me on as a guest back in 2004, and he said, Hawk, you've been talking to me all about these things and what you see coming in the future. Why don't you take me around the world and let's talk about where the threats are going to emerge? And we went and did that, and I talked about everything that I'd known, that I'd been told, and that I had researched and looked into with a little backside info from certain folk, more than one. And we talked about the Straits of Hormuz. And I said, we've got three carrier groups in the Straits of Hormuz, yet my information, this was in 2004, said that the Iranians had 110 super sunburn missiles, 100 exocets, and they had up to 40 nuclear warheads, which they bought on the black market, and which, by the way, they'd also tested one of them in, I believe, 1997 or 8. Brother Quayle remembers that because he had the screen capture of the test and of the test of the rocket that had a nuclear missile on it that they tested, and then that disappeared off the internet and out of people's minds back then. So I said, they've got up to 40 of these nuclear weapons, and they've got Russian missile forces in all of Iran, particularly in the Straits of Hormuz, in warehouses sitting on additional nuclear warheads. And I said in 2004, they could interdict and take just a few of the warheads and shoot all of those 110 Super Sunburns and 100 Exocets with the nuke tips. And they could take out three of our carrier groups and dead duck them, because the Aegis system back then could only handle a few targets. Now it's supposed to be able to handle a lot more, but now the Russians, because of Obama and Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid and Pelosi and Schumer and all those guys and a few other Republicans and Democrats passed the sequestration. And they got the United States behind the eight ball on the electromagnetic stuff. So then the Russians were able to turn off the USS Donald Cook. And then you remember in the last 2 to 3 years, they turned off and hit and took out about three or four other Arleigh Burke-class Aegis-type destroyers, all right? All under various guises of glitches and crew failures and all kind of stuff, and yet we've called them off here every single time. Now, Tehran has now gone on the offensive and said last Monday, the senior Iranian military official said, that the Islamic Republican public will close the Straits of Hormuz if it's prevented from using it, the state-run, you see, and getting their oil out to sell it. And whoever is behind that, I know President Trump probably okayed it, but you've got to believe that it's Bolton and a few others. And the Strait of Hormuz, based on international law, is a waterway, and if we're prevented from using it, we will close it, said Alireza Tangsiri, head of the Revolutionary Guards Navy Force. And they basically said that if that's going to happen, we're going to cost $400 a barrel oil right off the bat. You see, Russia and Iran in the Caspian Basin there near Baku and all of that, they got a lot of oil together. Now, the Saudis' oil is waning, badly waning, okay, and it's past way past peak. But if they could then take the Saudi oil, take Saudi, and then interdict United Arab Emirates, Qatar, etc., you see, in the Persian Gulf from getting their oil out, well, then by George, you see, they'll have a situation, price of oil goes up, and then here's what we're looking at. Wednesday, we had in Fort Worth, in a wooded, more wooded or scrub wood area of track, a whole bunch of ethanol cars, derailed. So we're back on the derailment train, no pun intended, and they all exploded, caught fire. And I'm going to tell you what, this is in the midst of the fact where gas prices at the pump are going up and up and up. California, they're already over $4, are they not? My Topanga Canyon friends, all the people up on the old Stagecoach Ranch, the old Stagecoach stop, a lot of different people out there who are good friends. The old Scholar of Temecula and certain dentists and all kind of good people out there that I know. Well, you see, and oh, and also my friends up north, in the fire zone who were protected by Lord Jesus, and we said prayers for them here on the show, if you remember. But it's going up other places, you know, as well, 10, 20, 30 cents, 40 cents, you know, and all of that's coming out of your pocket strong. And this is all part of the game. And we've got now, again, a cluster of derailments. And if you look up and see all of the ones that have taken place in Canada and the United States over the last 10 years, you would just be, it would boggle your mind. And then we've also talked to you about other things down there in the crossroads, and hello to all the peace officers of the crossroads of Texas area, down around in there in Old Victoria and all those different places, all right? If you're all down in there, you ought to be watching your railroads real strong and looking out for the hobo that shouldn't be boboing around in the yard, if you know what I'm saying. And you ought to put up some of your own little cameras, or have the rail master or the yard master put some up and keep watch on them and see what's going down, because I'm going to tell you, in a sense, all it takes is a certain red Chinese yuan coin, or, you know, Russian ruble. Remember when you're a kid, you might have put a penny or a quarter on the track, and of course some grown up told you if you did that it might derail the train, and you went back to look for it, and the penny or whatever was flattened and laying by the side of the rail. So I'm just being facetious about that, but it don't take too much to loosen up some track or bust up the pan drill clip and remove the bolts and the various items, you know, or even blow it with a small charge, you see. So sabotage is on the rise, and that's the overture. And then it always seems to be directed at chemical plants, like in Deer Park, in Houston area, which after that, Yanning, China, gets blown up, and that is also a chemical plant that makes pesticides, which could be used to make taboon and different other types of nerve gas type chemical weapons. And then after that, it was Crosby, Texas, where it was then, I believe, the first one in Deer Park was like benzene gas everywhere, benzene. And then after we hit the Chinese, which I believe is the U.S. hitting back in a tit-for-tat, allegedly. And then, of course, then it's Crosby, Texas, which incidentally, President Trump visits another week or two later, after a butylethylene plant goes up. So consequently, we got a whole little game and a little war going on. Then we had weather warfare, did we not? And I talked to Greg Evenson's lovely wife, Liz, and she was telling me in the Upper Peninsula the other day, over the weekend, they still had snow, you know? And they're talking about all kind of wild weather again everywhere. We've had these tornadoes. We've had all kind of stuff in places that we normally don't have them, and at timing that we normally don't get it. And with no jet stream, traditionally jet stream discernible, you're seeing striped weather like the Webbots called for about 5, 6, 7 years ago. They talked about tiger stripes of weather, bands or stripes of weather across the different latitudes, okay? And that's exactly what we're seeing now. So this is all going down, and in the same midst of all of this, you have an Ebola outbreak in the Congo, and now the doctors are on strike and everything. And then not only that, but they had one type of Ebola, which they're, of course, they were doing Ebola vaccine. We'll be back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about measles and malaria.
Hello there, and welcome to the bottom of the hour. This is Darren Craddock for Inner Health Botanicals, sole sponsor of the Survive to Thrive radio network, bringing you The Hawk on Thursdays and Fridays, Nurse Amy and Dr. Bones on Tuesdays, and myself with Total Health Freedom on Mondays and Wednesdays. We are all here to keep you informed and tell you more about how to stay healthy and aware. We talk on staying well naturally, being prepared, growing your own, and more. With the right tools, foods, and information, we give you the kind of truth that will set you free. Please support our network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hawk on SurviveToThrive.net. And you can go and get yourself some long-term, high-quality organic storage food at Inner Health Botanicals, okay? Go to innerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. You can also, if you're using other long-term storage food, pick up some Inner Food in the compact package, the freeze-dried pack that'll make it smaller to carry with you. And you can use a shake or two a day to get all the basic nutrients and then stretch your long-term storage food as we come down to an era where you're going to need it, you're going to need it, you're going to need it. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, you can also get meal replacement powders. You can get bladder rack seaweed that'll help to mitigate, along with the inner food, possibilities of radiation. And then all of the other items that you need to be starting to continue. If you haven't started, start immediately. Start with water filtration. That's something that will take out, like a Berkey, that will take out viruses, bacteria, parasites, okay? You need to be like triple aware and triple or triplicated on different things. You need to have other filtration systems. You need to have bleach handy. You need to have colloidal silver, okay, handy. You need to have all kind of different things, that Aquamira, other types of filters, that just in case one goes bad, even if you have extra filtration, that you do it. But the Berkey, with the black Berkey filters, will take out viruses, basically, and bacteria, parasites. And it will take out about 99%, 99.9% of the chemicals. You can get additional filters to put on those little filters that will also take out even the MTBEs, things that are extremely hard to get rid of. But 99.9% of most of the chemicals will get taken out, plus the virus and all of it. But you got to be able to boil water, you got to be able to store water, and you got to be, you know, triplicated on your ability to have pure water. Long-term storage food, but you're going to need, if it's freeze-dried or dehydrated, you got to have enough water to rehydrate it, you see, and to make it come to pass. But you can also get canning your own food. You can also get canned goods. For instance, like if the can is not per canning companies, the stuff on the side and the date corresponds, apparently, from what I've talked to different canning companies back during the Y2K, was that that date was the date that they can guarantee 100% of the nutritional stated nutrition that was on the side of the can. That if the can was not ballooned out or buffed out or cut or bent or dented or obviously smelling bad or having rust on it or turning black. You know what I'm saying? If the can was in good condition and had been stored properly and did not have any kind of dents or problems with it, that it would probably be good for quite some longer time, although over time, the nutrition of the food would go down. But you would still retain a high percentage of the nutrition. Now, some of the grains that store, like some of the white rice and some of the wheat and different items, when stored properly in a vacuum sealed, you know, in the sealed thing with an oxygen absorber, or some people used to use the dry ice, but you can get the oxygen absorbers now, and you get the 5-gallon buckets with the lids that you spin them on and tighten them all up. Well, heck, I think they found in some of the pyramids and stuff, they found ancient wheat that still was good, and that they also were able to take the seeds of the wheat basically and to plant them and to grow a strain of Egyptian wheat, which you can still get today. But if you can only get nothing else but a can of chunky soup or some Yoder's bacon or Yoder's chicken chunks or beef chunks or some Spam, heck, Hawaiians love Spam because the GIs bought it over by the tons. And they thought that was a delicacy. And believe me, you cut it up a little slice it up a little thinner, and you fry it up, put some barbecue sauce, some hot sauce on it, throw some eggs in the mix and some potatoes, you got a good meal. Because it'll keep you alive, and it'll keep you in the fight against whoever's coming for you. You want to keep Old Hawk in the game? You want to keep me in here? I need your help, too, all right? Anything that you can send would be most needed and appreciated. Send it with a card. If you can't, just say hello. Send me a hello card or a letter. Send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And may the Lord bless you for anything that you would send, 10,000 fold. It can be Federal Reserve note. It can be metals like a silver dollar, silver quarter, silver dime. It could be a 10th ounce gold. It could be a gold ounce, whatever it is. Check, money order. Anything is most welcome and needed. Send it to Hawk, H-A-W-K. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we also had an ammonia leak in a Chicago suburb that has sent 37 people to hospitals. At first, they said there was a wreck, and then they changed the tune, and then the local law enforcement said, oh, apparently there wasn't a wreck, but now we don't know why it did it. But they had to evacuate people, and 37 people were sent to hospitals in a Chicago suburb. Now, what's interesting is that not all far from there in South Beloit, there's a certain, in the Illinois countryside, there is a certain, I'm not talking about Beloit, Wisconsin, South Beloit, I'm talking about a place in a country, a rural area, where there is one of the radiation detectors, emergency tracking, nuclear emergency tracking center, and there has been a level 5 alert at that spot in the past a number of times. And one time in the past, after I predicted on air, I said, you know what? I wonder if they're trying to get in the back door for the air show into Chicago with some kind of a, you know, loose bucket of sunshine or something. And you remember that air show in Chicago that year? It was a few years back, where in the parachute thing, a Navy SEAL collided with somebody else in a parachute thing, and they went down. You remember that? And there was a possibility that there was some kind of hanky-panky, and that the SEAL was sent there to take out whoever may have been involved in something. But we don't know about that. Although I do know from years ago, from the MMB, having told Brother Stephen Quayle, stevequayle.com, stevequayle.com, Q-U-A-Y-L-E. And let me tell you something, Brother Quayle is who made it all right for me to come back to the Lord Jesus years and years ago in the mid-90s when he was on the old shortwave and on the radio. But anyway, Brother Quayle was told about a certain church up there where they had interdicted. There had been five loose buckets of sun devices that were in that church area. It was on the north side. It was in a suburban town. And I'm trying to think of what town it was. I don't want to say the wrong one, but I'm just going to look at a map here real quick. Just allow me to do that because it had a park on the second part of the name. And let's see. H-I, there it is. Should be right there. Illinois. Where's Chicago? Where are you, buddy? All right. There it is right there. Now, let's see. It wasn't Park Ridge. It wasn't Highland Park. It may have been, it wasn't Oak Park. Let's see. May have been Rogers Park. Or, no, I know what it was. It was Tinley. It was Tinley Park, allegedly, that the Mighty Men and Women of Valor, the MMB, told Brother Quayle that they interdicted. There had been five devices that had been stored somewhere there. They went in and made the raid, and they got three of them. Two of them disappeared, and we tracked that stuff for years after that. And then I told you at a certain point in time where I thought that I believed they picked up the other two a year or so later down the line. All right? And that is the MMB. And the MMB, for any new listener, they were a highest level nuclear search nest group. They are above top secret, up to, you know, as high as level as you want to go, way up into the pro words. And they also fly some of the spacecraft, the TR-3Bs. They were allegedly involved in the takeout when they went to war against the Dracos deep underground under Dulce, New Mexico. And they're the ones that Steve always used to say, they told him they go bump in the night. Something goes bump in the night, we bump back. They're also the ones that have been, when giants are found, and they're found like bound with the copper wristbands or the bronze wristbands, but it's usually copper with the angelic writing on them. And there's a big 10, 12, 14-foot giant in stasis underground. In other words, suspended animation, they're the ones they call, okay? Anything that is out of the ordinary and the highest level nuclear emergency search stuff, over the years we've talked to you about it. And that I've been privileged to have been protected by them, as did Brother Quayle and as did somebody else who's a friend of the show. But they told Quayle that they got them, and then years later, I think we picked up another two of the five. But they've been involved in a whole lot of stuff to protect the United States and also to stand in the gap up there in space against what's coming in all the time and to be able to fight them. So that's what the MMB is all about. So I'm telling you, all those in Arizona, you know where the nuclear power plant is out there in the desert? There was two incidences out there where they had to come in and hit the people. There was somebody going to blow that out there with nuclear weapons. There were also with Brother Quayle in the Quayle Hagman report or forum back then in about 204, 205. There were up to, and I'm just going to tell you the true number, up to 25 devices from the top of the East Coast on down to Baltimore in the big cities, all up and down, and all of them were taken out and interdicted by the MMB, led by the son of El Doctore named Kevin. And Kevin was killed later by other rival factions, the evil factions within the U.S. military. And he was killed with knife work out on an old country road in North Dakota on the way sort of real close to the Canadian border. And Kevin took out about 6 or 8 of the 10 or 12 that came for him, but finally succumbed to his wounds out there. And the only time I heard Brother Quayle ever cry on air was when he read the letter from El Doctore years ago, talking about how the doctor's son had been killed on that road. And that's after he saved the United States from the whole East Coast from blowing sky high. And the last one, from what I understand, was in Baltimore somewhere there. I don't know if it was in a Bell's Point warehouse or where it might have been. But they went in there and grabbed it, and it was, guess what? The brand new latest type from Los Alamos, allegedly, or Sandia Lab, or wherever, that they could not turn off the timer. They had to rush it out into the deep waters off the Maryland coast and take it down in there and blew it. And there was a massive fish kill for the next two, three, four, 5 days in that area. They were able to suppress a lot of the reporting of the universities on their seismographs, saying, oh, the seismograph was down that day, or, oh, there was a computer glitch or whatever. But seismographs in Europe and also further west in the United States picked up that explosion. Of course, it doesn't go full nuclear, but it's a pretty big explosion in this particular case. So they actually chased that down and got those guys on the street. So this is the kind of stuff is going on all the time, and I want to let you know that you need to be prepared. And the first preparation is to get on your knees and repent of your sins to Lord Jesus and to ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. It's the best deal in town. It's something that you better get on to. And even if you ain't quite sure, you ought to go ahead and sincerely do it, because I'm going to tell you, if you do that and you're sincere, he's going to start washing you clean, and he's going to give you everlasting life in heaven if you lay down your bodily remains, you see, and what's getting ready to come. And Lord Jesus will tell you, Matthew 24, Luke 21, what's coming. He's telling you what's coming, you know, in Revelation, the revelations of Lord Jesus as told to John of Patmos. Everybody forgets that. So we're getting ready for a time, and I've been trying to get you ready for it as I was instructed to do, and I keep obedient to the instructions and keep talking about it. Now, I'm telling you, I know it's be nice if I could have, you know, triple dipped chocolate cones for free every night, you know, but I don't. But I'm nevertheless telling you what I was told to tell you, and when I ask the Lord for something new or something different, he tells me what makes you think they've got it yet. Now, if you've also seen Brother Hodges' article about the cartels having drones, okay, and how they could release and kill a lot of people that they have them with the basic, infantry. They have like guns on them where they could pow, shoot you, but they also could release spores of different of anthrax or spores of this or a chemical weapon, a biological weapon. They could puff and blow out and release a whole bunch of feathers, you see, contaminated with something on them, you know, or something like that. And I think back into the 90s, and I can remember hearing him talk as I sat at some of the Mid-America Constitution meetings with various people and listened to him. And there was a guy back then that Brother Quayle interviewed, and I cannot think of his name right now. I just can't think. But he was a guy that had been a teacher or a professor, chemistry guy at Ohio University or Ohio State. I can't remember which. And he's the one that had trained a large number of Iraqi women as chemists. And that there was a cell back in Iowa City, allegedly, back in the 90s, that when they tracked certain people there, they found out that they had the stainless steel canister filled with a high grade of military anthrax that he had previously taught them how to make. And that was under the guise of the United States government and secret stuff helping Iraq against Iran in those days. But then that cell, allegedly in Iowa State, this woman was there, and the woman was the carrier of the initial stuff, and then they cooked it, and they're all going to grad school in the chemistry labs and all that stuff. And they have the lab equipment and the things to do all of that. Well, at the last minute, they got a tip, and they went in there and grabbed that woman and took her out, allegedly, from what I was told back then, to a defunct factory outside of, Ames? Some kind of building out on the outskirts. And they made sure, darn good and sure, that they got the correct information and went to an apartment complex and took down two cells of Iraqis, and that allegedly they had sufficient amount of anthrax back in the mid-90s, and their plan had been to go down, what is it, I-29 or something from there, or I-35, and then go down, you know, from Des Moines to Kansas City and all the way down and drive it all the way down with the Venturi system in the trunk spraying out high potency military grade anthrax into the air. And that was put down and stopped back then. This stuff does happen, I'm telling you, and we've got what, malaria day or whatever now, and they got new malaria vaccine, and then you're telling you that if you don't take the vaccines or if you say anything bad about vaccines, then you're putting everybody at risk. And so the protocols are being developed that if you do not take the vaccine, then you're going to be put into quarantine, into a jail, you see. And consequently, that is what's being set up. But meanwhile, they had the hospital in the Congo and the Ebola, and they had the vaccine trials, the big pharma over there with vaccine trials. And then they find out that it doesn't work quite as well as they thought. And then all of a sudden, the Ebola, they've got a new mutated Ebola. It's just right out of the Outbreak movie. A new Motaba. Motaba the second type. And the original vaccine doesn't work on it, you see. And then that hospital was attacked. Allegedly, I don't know why or by whom, but they attacked it. Because all that stuff goes nebulous or fritter-fritter as to exactly who or why. And then now they got doctors on strike. Well, do you not think that Ebola's getting out? And that, what was it, I believe it was Denver, held a whole big drill about Ebola spreading through, you know, the airports and coming into Denver and into the, all of that area over there in the metro. So I'm going to tell you again, you need to get a hold of a high-quality, brand-new Tyvek F-suit, multiple ones. You need to get them of a size that will go over clothing. You're not trying to tailor them, make them to the svelte lip body or the muscle-bound body that you're out there lifting your weights doing, but you get it big enough so you can put it on over your fighting clothes, you know, with the booties, the head, you know, the hood, the big chemical-resistant or chemical-preventative rubber gloves, the big ones that come up your arm, not the little thin snappers that the doctor might wear, but the big rubber ones, okay, that are chemical protected as well. And then a military grade gas mask, brand new, high quality, not surplus, not Russian insectoid head surplus that you get down at the Army Navy store. I'm talking about brand new, like an M95, military M95. And you need to get something that has hopefully got a voice box so you can talk on it, and then also has ability for you to either wear eyeglasses inside of it or to have small lenses created that can be inserted into it. And then you need full quality nuclear, biological, radiological, you know, filtration that is of the highest quality, and those filters will cost you $30 to $40 a piece, by the way. Not the, you know, I've got some of the surplus that are still probably good, all right, but they're not of the quality that these are. The M95, or there's different type of systems, Scott, different ones, and you need to find out, do a research on it, and get you something, and you ought to get at least two suits, I think, if you can, if you have the ability to do so, for each person in your family. And there are young people's youth masks that are available, and there are baby rangers. There are pet facilities that you can put your dog or your cat. Don't forget about them. I don't know about your minor bird and all that, but your dog, your cat can be put into a thing. And there are also other type of systems that are the reverse pressure systems that push things out and to keep it in a bubble. The baby rangers, you could put a baby, brand new baby up in that. And they did do that World War II fun. But don't go into their Luciferian knife out of five. Stand for Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Stand for your home. Still a ride. Fighting men and women of valor. Use your high tech to stay close. That neck breakers, I know you said. An old Vicky LaPuma pick. Be the man with the optics. May the Lord Jesus protect you against all evil. Provide you. You can go fun and you can prepare now. Good night.